Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
About a week ago, we hired a new domestic assistant. I know some of you call them housemaid, but we've chosen to call the lady who works for us in our house a domestic assistant. And it sounds cool. It does. So, because she's new, she needed our help. We needed to guide her. We needed to teach her what she's meant to do. We needed to equip her with some skills of doing work the way we want. And she's picking up, just in a week's time, she's picking up very well. However, if we had not helped her, she would not be doing as well as she is right now. And as Christians, we need a helper. And the good news is we have a helper within us. We have been given the helper, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Now, domestic assistants come and go, but the Holy Spirit comes and never leaves us. He comes and he never abandons us. He comes and he never runs away from us. He comes and he never gets tired of helping us. Why? Because he is God. He is the Almighty God. He knows everything. He has all power. He has all authority. And we can trust in the Holy Spirit as God. Also, the Holy Spirit is a person, meaning we can relate to him personally. Hey, everyone here, you can have a relationship that is personal with the Holy Spirit. You can have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, as I said, he is our helper. And what does he do? What does he do as our helper? Hey, he helps us live thriving Christian lives. He helps us live victorious Christian lives. But here is what we are focusing on. You know, in the next 4 weeks, when we began talking about it last week, in fact, 2 weeks ago, hey, the Holy Spirit gives us the power we need to serve effectively. He gives us supernatural power so that we can serve effectively. And that's why he's very important to us. He gives us gifts to enable us serve. He equips us with supernatural abilities so that we are empowered to serve other people. We are empowered to serve in the church, to serve in the community, to serve at our workplaces. We are empowered to extend God's kingdom wherever he has deployed us. He gives us gifts. And last week, we saw three gifts that are categorized as revelation gifts, supernatural abilities. And one of them is a word of wisdom. Supernatural gift, different from common wisdom. And then the word of knowledge. Supernatural ability that is different from common knowledge. Oh, I love that. And then, of course, ability to discern spirits, to distinguish the work of the Holy Spirit from the work of Satan or even the work of man. So those are revelation gifts. Today, as we continue talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we want to look at another category, and that is vocal gifts. Vocal gifts. And vocal gifts are among the 9 gifts that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And they consist of the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in different tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. May I again emphasize that these are supernatural abilities. They are not natural abilities, like maybe being a musician or singing or running. Those are natural abilities. These are supernatural abilities. The gift of prophecy, gift of speaking in different tongues, and gift of interpretation of tongues, those gifts are classified as vocal gifts because each of them involves speaking or declaring a God-given message in a known or unknown language. You vocalize the message given to you by the Holy Spirit under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to read again what Paul says about spiritual gifts and specifically vocal gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4 to 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, for mutual benefit, for everyone's good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. We talked about that last week. To another, a message of knowledge or word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another person, distinguishing between spirits or discernment of spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit is the source of spiritual gifts. Man is not the source of spiritual gifts. I'm not, and I will never be the source of spiritual gifts, but the Holy Spirit is a giver of spiritual gifts. And for your information, spiritual gifts are not inherited. My daughter will not inherit any spiritual gift I have from me. She will have to receive a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And spiritual gifts are for people who have given their lives to Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a candidate to receive a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. Now, some of you maybe are here and you're not born again. You're saying, so am I left out? You're not left out. All you need to do is to give your life to Jesus. So, I want us now to look at each of the vocal gifts to understand what they are, because that is what this message is all about. So we're starting with the gift of prophecy. So in a general sense, prophecy means a declaration or proclamation of God's word under the influence of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, preaching or teaching is sometimes it's referred to as prophecy. It can be called prophecy, but that is in a general sense. Now, I'm not talking about when you're teaching in school as a school teacher, you're prophesying. Really, if preaching is to be referred, preaching or teaching, if it is referred to as prophecy, it is the preaching and teaching of God's word. The Bible is actually a prophetic book, because it reveals God's will and purpose for humanity and the world. This book here, by the way, I carried one tonight, a physical one. I know you have an electronic one. It is called the prophetic book because it is the revelation of God's will and purpose for people and the world. The gift of prophecy, however, is a supernatural, above the natural, beyond the natural ability given by the Holy Spirit to some people to communicate a message from God to an individual, a group of people, a community, or even a nation about something God wants them to be aware of or act on. So a person who prophesies receives a message from God and conveys it, communicates it to an individual, a group of people, a community, or a nation about something they need to know or do something about. So prophecy can take the form of predicting, but it can also take the form of addressing issues that are happening now. But let me talk about predicting. Prophecy as a prediction of the future. Theologians call it foretelling. But I don't want, let's use a simple word, predicting the future. So, prophecy as a prediction means that a person prophesying announces what is going to happen in the future so that an individual or people to whom the message is delivered prepare for it. So the person prophesies, who is prophesying, predicts what is going to happen. God gives them a message that such and such a thing is going to happen so that either in an individual or person or people, group of people for whom that message is meant, prepare for what is going to happen. For example, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah predicted the invasion and destruction of Jerusalem. And I tell you what, true to the prophecy that came out of Jeremiah's mouth, in 586 BC, Jerusalem was invaded by the Babylonians and they destroyed the magnificent temple. Also, Jeremiah prophesied that the Jews would be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And they were there for 70 years. Micah, I think is a little bit, and we don't know much about, well, I shouldn't put it that way. Micah is not as popular as Jeremiah. However, he was a prophet of God and he prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judah, a little known town. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah. By the way, there are two Bethlehems. One was of Judah and the other one was of Zebulun. A New Testament example of prophecy predicting the future. In Acts chapter 21, from verse 10 to 12, several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judah. He came over, took Paul's belt, and bound his feet and hands with it. Then he said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, this is Luke reporting, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. So prophecy can be predictive. It can predict. It can foretell. It, through prophecy, God can announce what is going to happen to an individual or to a nation or to a community or to a church. But prophecy can also address something in the present, like I said a while ago. And that is called foretelling. So a person prophesying can address a specific moral, spiritual, social, or political issue with the goal of encouraging a person or people concerned to repent or deal with it. Now, there's a difference between we, the church, being a prophetic voice and operating, and the gift of prophecy operating in the sense that it is addressing what is happening right now. By the way, every believer is meant to be a prophetic voice. In your family, at your workplace, when you see something that is not going well, that doesn't glorify God, you can speak out against it. But we are talking about the gift of prophecy, which is the supernatural ability to declare what God is saying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And, And by the way, this is something that you don't know, but God reveals it to you. So let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, when Ahab, the king of Israel, grabbed the vineyard belonging to Naboth, after Jezebel, you know that woman called Jezebel, remember her? After Jezebel, his wife, Ahab's wife, murdered Naboth, God sent Elijah to confront Ahab and warn him that the judgment of God was going to befall him and his family, and he and his family would be wiped out. That was a prophecy addressing what had happened. Here is the thing, though. When I have heard that, especially what God was about to do, the man humbled himself. In fact, God spoke to Elijah, said, Elijah, have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself? And so God spared him his wrath. He was not destroyed. Another example of prophecy addressing what is happening in the present is David. Remember the story of David sleeping with Bathsheba. But not only that, he also killed, he organized the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And God spoke to Nathan. God sent Nathan to David to rebuke him. And God was going to judge David. However, David humbled himself, repented, and he was spared God's judgment. Now, talking about the gift of prophecy, predicting the future, but also addressing what is happening in the present, you might be wondering, you might be asking, is the gift of prophecy valid and operating today? You've only given us examples of the operation of the gift of prophecy in the Old Testament and New Testament. What about today? Is it still valid? It's a good question. The answer is yes. Because thousands of years ago, God declared through Prophet Joel that I will pour out my spirit on all people in the last days. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Very specific. So let me share with you some contemporary examples of the operation of the gift of prophecy. So one time, as a matter of fact, I was sitting in a small room. That used to be my office there. I think it's I don't know whether it's a storeroom or whatever it is. And there was a couple who came to me and they were preparing for their wedding. And so I prayed with them. In that moment of praying with the couple, the Holy Spirit prompted me to pray about that couple having twins. So their prayer changed. I remember very clearly, the prayer changed from praying into declaring. I started declaring, you will have twins. You in that small room, in that corner, you will have twins. You will have twins. I said it several times. So they left. And sometime later, that couple came back to me and said, Pastor, you know what happened? God has blessed us with twins. That was the gift of prophecy. Just in case you think, well, that's you. So let me share another example that involves someone else. Because some people think it's only pastors. You know, after all, you're a pastor. Hey, this gift is for every believer, whether you're a pastor or you're not. About 2 years ago, following God's prompting, Miriam Musali, a member of this church, she allowed me to talk about this, to share her story in this message. So Miriam Musali left her stable and good-paying job with a state-owned organization without knowing where she was going next. As soon as she left the organization, she began wondering if she had made a big mistake. One morning, her husband told her he had a message for her. And it was about God leading Miriam where he had opened the door for her. In the afternoon of the same day, take note of that, she received an unexpected call from someone who told her he was leaving the organization where he was the MD, managing director, and she was the right person to replace him as the MD. She hadn't talked to him about a job, and she had not even applied to that organization. A few days later, Miriam's friend from the U.S. sent her email saying, "Miriam, I've been praying for you, and I keep hearing the word surprise. That God is going to surprise you with a job that you may not even be thinking about or know about today." As I speak right now, Miriam is the chief operating officer of that organization. Let me tell you, friends, the Holy Spirit is real. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real. They are active today. We're not talking about something that is a myth, a man-made thing. It is the Holy Spirit. Remember, these gifts are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's important for us to be aware that God-inspired prophecy is different from fortune-telling. Fortune-telling is the practice of predicting what is going to happen to an individual or a group of people by means of astrology, the study of the movement of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the planets. Fortune-telling also happens by means of horoscopes or consulting the spirits of the dead. Now, that is called necromancy. And then also predicting the future based on the movement of birds. That's actually called augury. Now, some of you are wondering, did Calvin study fortune telling in school? I did not. Through personal study, I came to know this. Or palm reading. Friends, fortune telling is associated with witchcraft. That's why we need to run away from it as people of God. We should, if you notice somebody is engaging in fortune telling and beginning to tell you about your future, run away from that person. It's associated with witchcraft, divination, and occult practices, sorcery, and devil worship. And fortune telling is practiced to control people and make money. Remember the girl we talked about in Acts chapter 16 last weekend? Let me tell you, the Spirit of God is, we've not been given the Spirit of God to control us. We've been given the Holy Spirit to empower us, not to control us. That's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of Satan. And may I say that, by the way, Satan is very good at disguising himself as the angel of light. That's why we need teachings like this. So what is the purpose of prophecy? The purpose of prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. Rather, the purpose of the gift of prophecy, it is intended to strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. However, every prophecy must be tested to determine whether it's from God or not. Because it's not only the Spirit of God at work, there's also the spirit of the devil. So Paul told the church in Thessalonica that do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies. Don't laugh. Don't despise prophecies. But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. How do we test prophecy? We test prophecy by determining whether it is in agreement consistent with God's written word. So, for example, if I prophesied right now and I told you, go to the parking lot, there's a car for you there, it's a Land Cruiser V8, and it is a 2016 model, it's black in color, and yet that car belongs to Pastor Andrew. That is not a true, that's not a prophecy from God. What I'm encouraging you to do is to steal. You know, so if I told you right now, say, hey, divorce your wife because God has given you a woman of his choice. The one you have right now is not his choice for you. But I'm encouraging you to commit adultery. That prophecy is not from God. Also, we test prophecy by determining whether it is strengthening, is the message, prophetic word, strengthening, encouraging, or comforting people. It's condemning people. We also need to ask ourselves, did what was prophesied to me or over me or into my life come to pass? But we also need to look at the character of the person prophesying, of the prophet. We need to, because, you know what? I know, of course, sometimes we say God can use anybody. It doesn't matter what you've done. But we need to look at the character of the person prophesying, using the gift of prophecy. So, we've talked about the gift of prophecy belonging to the category of vocal gifts. And we've taken long on that because this is the one that is very controversial, the gift of prophecy. Now I want us to briefly talk about the gift of speaking in different tongues and then the gift of interpretation. The gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages is the supernatural ability to communicate a message from God in a language a person who is speaking doesn't understand. And it's meant for someone. And you speak that tongue, that unknown language, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the first time we read about speaking in tongues is on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It is also on the day of Pentecost we see the manifestation of the gift of tongues for the very first time. Acts chapter 2, from verse 5 to 8, and then 11 to 12. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, or they were amazed, because each one had their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" So the gift of speaking in tongues is beneficial to hearers if they understand what is being said, but it is of no benefit to anyone unless there is interpretation. Paul told the Corinthian church that, "Brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation, knowledge, or prophecy, or word of instruction?" So there is the gift of speaking in tongues. You communicate a message in a language you don't know. But God is speaking to someone, or God is speaking to some people. Let me give you some examples that are contemporary. In fact, let me just give you one example. And it happened in one of our cells, in Mukono. A small group. They were praying together toward the end of the cell meeting. And in that moment, they began speaking in tongues. Everybody was speaking in tongues. Now the cell leader began speaking a language that is spoken in northern Uganda. A cell leader from central Uganda, she didn't know that language. She only knew two languages, English and Luganda. But in that group, there was the a housemaid of the cell host. So the house help understood what this lady was saying to her. So at the end of the meeting, the house help walks to the cell leader and starts speaking. I think it was Luo. Starts speaking that language to her, Karama, Rowoko, whatever it was. Shama, Chimako, Kikamaka. You know, the cell leader was at loss. She had no idea. What are you talking about? The house help could not believe the lady did not know her language. So the cell members confirmed it. They say, by the way, she doesn't know that language. She only speaks two languages, English and Luganda. And at that point, the house help says, you know what? God was speaking to me. He was encouraging me. Come on now. By the way, it doesn't happen only here in church. It can happen anywhere. Now, may I say to you that the gift of speaking in different tongues is different from tongues as a prayer language. That every believer should be speaking, you know, should be praying in tongues. And Paul talks about tongues as a prayer language in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 to 4. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So there is tongues as a prayer language. When we are worshiping Jesus, we can be in tongues. But there is the gift of speaking in different tongues. The last one. So we talked about the gift of prophecy being a vocal gift. We talked about the gift of speaking in different tongues and the gift of interpretation. The gift of interpretation goes hand in hand with the gift of speaking in different tongues. This gift is the supernatural ability to understand and explain a message from God uttered by someone in a non-human language. In an unknown language. But a person speaking in unknown language, in an unknown language, can be enabled by the Holy Spirit to also interpret it. That means a person can operate in the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of interpretation at the same time. The gift of interpretation, like any other spiritual gift, is intended to be used to build up the church. And Paul talks about it, saying, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Paul also adds that since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those gifts that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.